Hi, welcome back to another episode of Paperback Romance Book Club. I'm your host, Melissa. Hi, how are you? Sorry this week is late. Children. So that's my only excuse. Yeah. Anyways, hi, it's Thursday. Oh my gosh, you guys. I just dropped all three kids off at my mom's house for the day. I'm so excited. Like, I didn't even feed them breakfast. I was like, Mom, can you feed them breakfast? She's like, yeah, sure, no problem. She's like, I'll make kitty pancakes. I was like, whatever. I don't really care what you give them at this point. And so it takes, you know, like 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes to get from our house to her house. And what that means is that I have to make sure that the diaper bag is all packed with whatever. Today, swim trunks were required, extra clothes. Normally, it's pajamas, but I have like 4 billion loads of laundry to do. And then, of course, getting their clothes ready and out. And you're like, Melissa, sounds like something you should be doing at the end of the night before. I know. I should. Normally I do. Normally I'm just like, let's go. Yes, kids are out of the house. But I didn't last night because I was just tired. So, yeah, crazy. But it is already, so it's like 9:30 in the morning here already. And it is already like 74 degrees. It's going to get gross and hot. But it's not, it's like cool and it's humid. I don't know. It looks like it's going to rain, which I hope it doesn't rain because Twin B loves water and loves the little kiddie pool that my mom has. So I'm hoping that it's not going to rain this afternoon when they go outside to play. So, yeah. I'm so excited, you guys. Oh my god. I have not had a break from my children in 3 weeks. So, I'm ecstatic about today. I'm also ecstatic about today because, you guys, it's Avery Flynn episode. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So, I chose to do just a general kind of Avery Flynn episode instead of just trying to do one or two of her books, because they all tie in with each other, and that's so cool. It's very cool. Okay, so her first, let me get this. Okay. Let's start with a first series. It's not her first series. Anyways, there's a series called Harbor City. And there's three books to that. And then we go into the Hardigan series. And then we go into the Ice Knight series. And I just reread the Hardigan series and one of the Ice Knight series books. So right now there are only three books to the Ice Knight, but I am going to assume that there's going to be a lot more, so there needs to be like the whole team. So, Avery Flynn, if you're listening to this, I expect every single player to have their own story. I'm just kidding. Not really. Okay, so the Ice Knights is a hockey team. And before, so the Ice Knights are kind of the most recent series, but they're kind of a recurring theme in the Harbor City and, of course, the Hardigan book series, because everybody's a hockey fan. So, Harbor City, I am guessing, just from geographical stuff, is kind of like a Boston type of place, East Coast. And then Waterbury is kind of like the suburb part of Harbor City. And Waterbury gets mentioned, of course, for the Hardigans, because that's where everything takes place there. And of course, Ice Knights as well. So, yeah. So, let's just kind of go into this. This is kind of... Okay, so, yes, this is an Avery Flynn episode, but this is also... That's my chair. Sorry. Scooching in. I'm teaching my kids how to, like, scooch their chairs in, and I'm like, God, can I get more Midwestern? Seriously, can I? I probably could. So, let's talk about the Hardigans. I love this family so much. I thought I loved the Bridgertons. Like, I kind of was like, I love big families. And my husband and I, we're kind of planning on having a big family. Like, we're talking, like, kind of, like, five kids. Turns out, I am a monster when I'm pregnant. And, oh, turns out, I actually do not like being pregnant at all. at all. Well, no, I take that back. I really like being pregnant for, like, 3 months. And then I'm just, like, the first 3 months... all I do is throw up. And then that, like, second trimester is, like, bliss. I'm like, I could stay in the second trimester my entire pregnancy. And then, like, the third trimester hits, and I'm just like, get this demon baby out of me. So, yeah. Also, kids are fucking expensive. So, and mommy has, like, I have just no patience anymore. So, it kind of bums me out that I think we're done having children, because I also was like, I'm not having kids over the age of 30 because I don't want to have kids over the age of 30. That's just my personal body choice. It's not because of like, oh, you're 30 and you're old. No, I just don't. My twins will be 4 next year. Which means, like, a 4-year age gap. My brother and I are 4 years apart. And, like, when we were younger, we had a really good, you know, like, brother-sibling, brother-sister relationship. And I feel like now we kind of really don't. So, I don't know. I like that the twins and the baby are so close together. But, yeah. So, it kind of bums me out. But I love reading about big families that are, like, so freaking, they're just so close to together, like, they're so close. And of course, we know, like, the Bridgerton family, there's 8 kids in that. But, I mean, there's a huge age gap between, the youngest Bridgerton and, you know, the oldest from A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, Hyacinth. Okay. So, from Hyacinth, who is the youngest, to Antony, who's the oldest. I mean, there is a huge age gap. So, this family, the Hardigans, there are 7 siblings. Okay, the first 2 are twins, then there's triplets, which, like, the first time I read Butterface, which is the first book for the Hardigan series, I guess, like, I thought that was kind of a joke for some reason. Like, it didn't really, like, catch on to my brain, just because they're not really mentioned that they're triplets, except, like, for one time. And But like Frankie and Finnegan, who are the twins, the first two kids of the bunch. I mean, they're mentioned twins for all three books. So I was kind of confused, and then like rereading or re-listening to Butterface the second time, I was like, oh, like they're actually triplets. Like they're triplets. So I guess that's my only like, I wish there would have been like more mention that like this woman, Kate Hartigan, had a said twins. And then has no shame about it, like talks about like IVF treatments and having triplets and then having two more kids. I'm just like, give that woman a sainthood. Holy shit. From a mom of twins, I could not imagine having a set of fucking triplets afterwards. Which my husband, like, when we found out I was pregnant with our third kid, he was like, they're triplet girls. And I was like, I'm gonna cut your balls off if they're triplets. So that being said, and then she goes and has like two more kids. And I'm like, holy shit, lady. Like, oh, my uterus hurts from just like listening to all this. But everybody is pretty damn close in age, it sounds like. Like, there isn't a huge age gap between the first, let's say this, they always, Frankie's the first, Frankie or Frank Jr., the first twin, the twin A, and Felicia, who is the baby of the family. It doesn't seem like there's a huge gap. So, that is also nice. It's also very nice that everybody is super close with each other. So, there's no like comparing that to the Bridgerton family, because right now that's the only thing I can really compare it to for a large family. Yes, I understand the Bridgerton obviously is a historical romance. This is obviously like a contemporary romance series, but the dynamics of a large family kind of work the same. So, you know, you have your oldest and then you have the baby. So it doesn't matter that, you know, Frankie and Finnegan are twins. Frankie has always mentioned that he is the firstborn. So, I mean, and that's just, of course, again, as a mom of twins, first time around, like, our twin A is the oldest, and that's, you know, what we tell him. So, and remind him, because, yeah, kid's attitude. Anyways. You think he's like a middle child. And I say that because my husband's a middle child and is a textbook definition middle child. Oh my God. So, anyways, and then you have the kids in the middle. And their dynamics are also, I don't know. I mean, everybody knows their place within the family, not just their numbers, but like who to go to first for each other. And that's just cool. I mean, it's just cool. I like it all. I'm very, listen, at this point, I'm very jealous. Like, again, I wanted a big family, but guess what? Pregnancy is a bitch. So, to those women who have like more than, I have three children. So, who have more than three children, I'm jealous, but at the same time, I salute you for your job. It's not for everybody. Okay. So, the Hardigans. Their famous saying is that there's the Red Irish, or there's the Black Irish, the Red Irish, and the Irish, the ones that got kicked off the island, island Irish, and then there's the Hardigans, who are all three. So, it's kind of like their family motto, and I love it. And, I mean, they're typical, red hair. I don't know. I don't think everybody has red hair. I know that the dad has red hair. Frankie or Frank Jr., the oldest, has red hair. I know Felicia has red hair. She's the youngest. So, yeah, I mean, they're just these big Irish people, and I love it. And I'm just like, I want to be a part of this family. Like, I want to be friends with these people. They sound fun. They just sound fun. So, I guess in my brain, I didn't, like, connect any dots until, Monday, when I was, like, writing notes and stuff. It's like, I need to just write a few things down. And it's like, wait. In Butterface, the first Hardigan book, Felicia is mentioned of having a fiance. And I'm like, that's kind of weird. Like, but this is the first Hardigan book. Huh. So I was like, huh. I'm confused. And then my husband's like, this is like happening at lunchtime. And my husband's like, are you thinking of something? And I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And he's like, well, does she have her own book? Maybe like in a different series? And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah. It's called Mom Brain, you guys. It's called Mom Brain. So, we get to meet the Hardigans before the Hardigan series in The Charmer. And that's part of Harbor City series. So there's three books in that series. The Negotiator, The Charmer, and The Schemer, I think. Yeah. So, The Charmer came out in 2017. It's 304 pages long. It is because I didn't have any of this pulled up. Okay. Avery Flynn page. So right now, basically all of her books are kind of available. All of her books are available for Audible Escape. The only exception on there is Loudmouth is not out yet on Audible. But the release date for that is 8/25. So, but Loudmouth is out now. So yeah, I'll go read it. It's the Ice Knights, book 3. Okay, so the books on Audible Escape. Are the Harbor City books. That Harbor City trilogy. The Hardigan trilogy. And then the first two books of the Ice Knights, Parental Guidance and Awkward. So I highly recommend, doing that. Yeah, so Tatiana Skolova is the narrator for The Charmer. As far as narrators go, I mean, I've never heard of her before, but I don't think I've heard of her before. Don't quote me on that. No, I haven't. But I would have remembered a name like Tatiana. Yeah, I mean, she's really good. I liked her. I mean, it kind of threw me off a little just from, Savannah Peachwood does the Hardigan series. So that kind of threw me off a little, but I mean, as far as her narration, it's just a female narrator for both people. Then for the Hardigan series, I'm sorry. The Charmer, if you're going to listen it to the audiobook, it is 7 hours and 35 minutes long. It goes by really fast. So, the Hardigan series, we have Butterface and then Muffin Top and Tomboy. I will explain those in a minute because you're like, those are kind of offensive titles. I will get to those. Okay. They are, like I said, they're narrated by Savannah Peachwood and then Brian Polino. And I really like those two narrators for the series. So they are chef's kiss. Let's see. Butterface. It came out in 2018 in July. It is 293 pages long. Audio is 7 hours and 45 minutes. Muffin Top came out in October of 2018. That's 320 pages and 8 hours and 57 minutes long. Tomboy came out February of 2019. It is 316 pages long and is 7 hours and 41 minutes. And then Parental Guidance, which is the first, technically the first book of the Ice Knights, that came out of June 2019. That is 282 pages long and is 6 hours and 27 minutes if you listen to the audiobook. Awkward is the second book of the Ice Knights. And let's see. That came out October 2019. It is 239 pages long and that is 7 hours and 49 minutes for the audiobook. Tim Page is the narrator, the male narrator for Awkward and Parental Guidance. He's actually the only narrator for Parental Guidance. Which, I don't know. I would have liked to see or hear a female in that one, but as much as it's, yes, there's the two characters, it is mostly about the male MC, which I'm blanking on his name. Of course I am. Let's see here. Well, I know that the female's name, I kind of like obsessed with this. Her name is Zara Ambrose. And I'm like, oh my God, I love that name. So yeah. Okay. I can't find his name. That's fine. Okay, so it is mostly about the guy's issue. Awkward is narrated by Tim Page again and Kelsey Navarro, and they both are brilliant. So, and then it'll be interesting for Loudmouth. Hopefully, I'm hoping that it'll be Tim Page and Kelsey Navarro. Their chemistry, I mean, I know obviously, like, not everybody records together, but the way it's set up, their chemistry, like, the way, one narration goes into, like, the other, because it's not always, like, a chapter. It's sometimes split into different parts in the chapter of whose kind of semi point of view it is. So, but it just their voices work so well together. Same with Brian Paulino and Savannah Beachwood. And I also love that last name. It's probably not her real last name, but I'm really hoping that it's kind of is. So, and she does a lot of romance. Yeah, so there's that basics. And then, like I said, Loudmouth just came out. Like, it seriously just came out, like, June 22nd of this year. I was fortunate enough, I will say this, I was fortunate enough to get an ARC of Loudmouth. And I devoured it within like 24 hours. It's less than 24 hours. Like, my husband was like, "You need to go to bed." And I was like, "I need to read this book." So he's like, "Fine, you can be crabby. It's not my fault." So, okay, so that getting all the logistics out of the way. Okay. So, like I said, we meet, let's go back. Rewind. We meet the Hardigans. I am assuming the first time we meet the Hardigans is in The Charmer, which is the Harbor City book two. And that is where we meet Felicia Hardigan. She is the baby of the family. She also, I don't know if she came out premature or she was just a really small baby, but it's mentioned kind of multiple times in The Charmer and of course in Butterface, where we meet more of the family, like more of them, like really meet them, that she was just so small. So I don't know that, again, she was premature or she's just a freaking small baby. So, and then her, the MC and the Charmer is also a recurring character, of course, in the Hardigans. Spoiler alert, it's her fiance, but we get to that. I mean, you get to read their story in The Charmer. It's really cute. So, and his name is Hudson Carlyle. So to summarize The Charmer, it's Felicia and Hudson's story. It's a fake relationship to get another guy, a guy that Felicia has, like, she thinks she's been in love with for like 15 years, which I'm like, oh, darling. It's kind like Hudson tries to do a whole, and he like explains this in the book, and it's kind of funny. He tries to do a whole My Fair Lady. So, like, trying to teach Felicia, kind of like how to flirt and stuff like that without changing too much of herself. Of course, we all know how that like works out. It like doesn't, and it's cute. So Felicia is also the super, like, and she know and she points this out too, and I just kind of love it more, her more for it. So she points out that she's not only the smallest person in her family, but she's also like really the oddball out because her dad and two older brothers, I know she has three, so her the twins and their dad are firefighters, which is kind of like every Hardigan man is like a firefighter. Faith and Fiona are teachers, and Fallon is a nurse. So, and Ford is a police officer slash like detective. Because I don't know if he's detective in the Charmer or until Butterface. Anyways, so she comes from a very working class, blue collar type family. Traditional, I don't want to say traditional like jobs, but she kind of points that out. Like they're very traditional in that sense that and it doesn't, she doesn't ever say what their mom did, but I assume their mom was probably a stay-at-home mom for seven kids. I mean, woof. So, I mean, I'm assuming that, but I could be wrong. I could miss it somewhere. So, we get to Felicia, and she is a scientist who studies one kind of ant. And I'm like, that's so weird. It's so cool. But it's like also just like, what? So she knows she's weird on that sense and oddball out. But she also has this awesome, super loving, supporting family that's just like, okay, you're gonna study ants. That's awesome. And like, no one ever, like, questions this or tries or has like tried to be like why? I mean, I'm sure they've asked like why, but she it just the support she gets from her family, it's just it gives you such warm fuzzy feelings. I can't even. Oh my gosh. Okay. So their relationship, like I said, is like Hudson, is fascinated with her. He is also the super secret, like super secret, identity of this really famous Harbor City painter. And they meet at a fundraiser, a museum fundraiser at that. The Natural History Museum. And he's like, I want to paint her. Which I'm like, that's kind of creepy. And like, Felicia points this out like a few times. She's like, okay, one, that's just creepy. And goes, I know. He goes, how else am I supposed to say it though? So he is trying to help her get Tyler, but he also really wants to like show her that she can do so much better than this guy, and that they will not work. They have no chemistry together. And of course, he won't admit it to himself to like, towards the end that, well, I don't want her to end up Tyler because I want her for myself. But it's mostly like he's trying to help her see her value as a person, as like a real dating relationship type person, not just like whatever. So it's very sweet. And they have a lot of fun. They have instant chemistry, and it's just, oh, it's a joy. It's such a joy. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe like I've never like read this book before. Oh my God, I love it. So it's a very fun, flirty, holy hell sex scenes. Oh, yeah. So, and of course they realize, you know, at the that they like each other, but of course it's that whole, oh, I don't think he likes me, and I don't think she like, you know, she loves me, and then there's this proposal at the end, and it's just beautiful, and I was like, oh my God, this is the perfect thing in the world. Yeah. So I don't really want to give out like too much of a spoiler, but the end of this book and the proposal he does is probably one of my most favorite proposals like ever. Ever. Okay. And then we go right into Butterface. Now you're thinking, that's kind of a weird title. And like Muffin Top and Tomboy. And, okay. So, let me get a few things off my mind for the Hardigan series. Butterface, Muffin Top, and Tomboy. They are, I mean, they're not only just about the Hardigan boys. They are also the start of this, and then you can add in Awkward. This group of females. It's Gina, Lucy, and Tess. And then in Butterface, they add in Fallon because they just realize that Fallon just fits into their group. And Fallon is one of the Hardigan sisters. So they all are not your picture perfect, you know, Miss America pageant girls. They all have their, you know, body image issues. I mean, we all do. And that's just what I love about these books is that it just hits so hard on how we see ourselves and how like society sees us, especially like so for Gina, she's Italian. She has a very you know, like she's got a long nose. She's It's kind of big or whatever, you know, it's very out there. She kind of has, she doesn't technically have the most beautiful face, and but she's got, you know, the rest of her. If you just, and like this is the whole thing, that's like mentioned from other people in the book is that, well, if you just don't look at her face, like her body's fine and she's got a butter face. So, but it is not about, it's not a makeover story. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's kind of like a makeover story because they're doing renovations to her house. So, in a way, it's a house makeover story. But it's not a makeover story. None of these books are makeover stories. They are not about changing. These women aren't trying to change themselves for the world or for the new men in their lives or anything like that. They have already kind of accepted, hey, this is what I look like and I'm fine with it. And if you're not fine with it, like, fuck off. Their friends are so just, they're the girl gang and the girl friendship that, like, I really wish I had right now, like in my life, and just being there for each other, and like, ugh, it's so beautiful. So yeah, the titles are a little like, okay, that's weird. But once you read them and you like realize that, yeah, to the rest of the world, it's a flaw, but to them, it's just who they are. And so, yeah, so like for Muffin Top, it was Lucy's, that's Muffin Top, spell Lucy. It was her dad's nickname for her, like the day she was born. And he does tell her, because she's like, I really wish you would stop calling me that. Like, you know, I know my size, because she's not a small girl. She's a plus size woman who owns it. And I'm just like, I wish I had that confidence. But her dad, she was stuck with that nickname from not just her dad, but from her peers growing up, because they heard him like tell her, you know, say it in public. So like throughout school, she was kind of bullied for that because she was never a small kid. Her mom literally ran away with a Greek tycoon, which I'm just like, oh, but it has happened to somebody. But her dad's whole reasoning, he goes, well, I called you Muffin Top because, like, or Muffin, because that's the, like, the best part of the muffin, and you are, like, the best part of my world. And it's just, like, this huge touching thing. And, of course, like, how can you tell, like, no, Dad, stop calling me that. So, it's kind of, I mean, she has already, like I said, accepted, like, hey, I know I'm not a small girl, a small person, but, like, she's in shape. She dresses nicely. I mean, whatever. She's hot. But she's constantly getting that whole, like, well, your face is an 8, but, like, your body's a 5, whole thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's just really interesting to see. I mean, on how she perceives herself, and then her interest is Frankie Hartigan, and he is not a small guy. I mean, he's like 6'5", so he's like, I'm not small either. Like, actually, like, you're kind of like perfect. So, and just like how she sees herself, and how she sees, how she thinks Frankie sees her. But again, it's all about, like, accepting who she is, accepting and, like, loving herself, loving her body. And then we go to Tomboy, which is Fallon Hartigan. And Fallon is a tomboy. I mean, she doesn't wear makeup. She, like, literally wears jeans and t-shirts and skateboards. I think she brushes her hair and puts it in a braid. That's, like, what she does. She doesn't wear any makeup. She talks about, like, how getting, like, a manicure kind of gives her, like, hives. Which I'm just like, I get that. She's not a girly girl at all. At all. Which is just, like, the coolest thing in the world. So, you know, and, like, she's got no curves. She's all straight lines, and but at the same time, like, she's just, she owns it. She's like, I'm not changing who I am. So, if you're a little, like, on the if side about the titles, they're not supposed to be offensive or degrading or anything like that. It's all about, like, accepting what you are, who you are, loving who you are, and, like, loving your body, and just, like, you know, I mean, if Fallon would change, they're not makeover stories. And Gina in Butterface points that out to Ford. That's her interest. Ford Hardigan, who is child number 4. He's part of the triplets. And she's like, I can't just take off glasses and I'll be magically hot like in the movies. She's like, this is who my, like, this is what my face is. She's like, yeah, I could get plastic surgery, but why? Why would I do that? She's like, I like the way I look. So, if you, I mean, we're women. I mean, most of the people who listen to this podcast are women. So, if you have ever just, I mean, at one point in your life, or, like, I don't know, right now, just feel like, ugh, about who you are, what your body looks like, I really, really, really suggest listening or reading these three books. I know the first time I read them, I kind of, like, finally accepted my mom body. Like, I'm never going to be my size 0 lean dancer body with, like, no boobs or hips, like, ever again. And, like, I'm fine with that. Because, like, it's miserable. And, I mean, I know I talked about that when I did the hockey series. But, like, this is who I am. Yeah, I work out, like, when I can with my kids. You know, I make changes to my diet. I try to eat relatively healthy and drink water. Not so much, okay, I haven't cut down the coffee. But, like, you know, I do all that. But at the same time, just, like, I had 3 humans growing inside of me. And my body got messed up a lot from that. So, you know, this is who I am. This is what I look like. This is my body type. Like, yeah, I got my mom bod. Dads can have their dad bod and it's hot, but, like, it's my mom bod. And that's that. So, I really, 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 really suggest you go listen to these books or read them, because it's all about just lifting each other up, girl power, and just, like, not giving a fuck who cares about, like, your body. Like, this is your body. And you should love it. That's my rant. Okay. There's that. So let's get into a little bit of the Butterface. Let me see time. Okay. So Butterface is Gina and Ford Hardigan. Ford is a detective who's trying to really secure a place. He's a detective, so he's already an odd man out for his family. Since I said everybody is a firefighter, for a male anyways. So he's always like, everything is by the books, everything is by the rules. He tries to secure a place on the crime task, like the mafia time crime task force. It's kind of fake dating, kind of not. Gina's grandfather went missing a while ago, like 13 years ago or something like that. And she finds his body in the house. Of course, it's like natural death. Like, he just was up in an attic or something and like fell and just got stuck. It's terrible. But Ford makes this thing up where, well, could have been a hit, since she has ties to, you know, crime boss or crime family, especially with her last name. And pretty much, like, stays at her house. Like, is like, well, I need to stay here and make sure, like, whoever did this, who possibly could have done a hit, doesn't come after you for finding the body. Of course, she knows this kind of bullshit. But then, you know, he's trying to get all this information. Trying to get information, I should say, about a huge drug deal that's going on in a couple of weeks that her brothers possibly might be mixed up in. And, oh, but then they kind of start dating for real. But since she finds out, like, the truth that, you know, he was really trying to, he started out trying to get information about her brothers. But of course, you know, they fell for each other. So it's a very interesting, when a person who is, you know, plays by the game, plays by the rules, and then starts kind of breaking all those rules for someone. But yeah, but we really get a good inside look at the Hardigan family in this book, and it's beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful. And then, so like I said, Gina, Lucy, and Tess are our trio, and then we add in, they add in Fallon, who is one of Ford's younger sisters, who is the ER nurse. Because they just realize, like, she's just, like, one of them. I don't know who. I think it's Tess brings her in from delivering flowers to, like, the hospital that Fallon works at. So, this is beautiful. Okay, on to Muffin Tot. So, Muffin Tot is the second book of the Hardigan series. It takes place pretty much right after Butterface, and Lucy is kind of getting harassed by a guy in a bar, she's like eating a burger, and this guy who has like no business, one whatsoever, to be telling her what she should eat or whatever. And then Frankie is there. Frankie is a firefighter, like I said, and he goes into the neighborhood pub, but he's only allowed to go in there because it's kind of a cop bar, or more like a cop bar. He's with Ford, and Ford kind of ditches him to go play darts, and he sees Lucy. He's met Lucy a few times at some family stuff, and Frankie, okay, Also, all the Hardigan kids all have names that starts with F, which I'm like, look. I had to like re-listen to Butterface to like make sure I had all the names in the correct order. I was like, oh my God. Frankie's never taken like a day off in his life, and he's always working like double shifts and over shifts or whatever. And the HR department's like, no, you need to take your like 3 weeks off. So he has 3 weeks off. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He's kind of a playboy. Doesn't really do relationships. Like maybe sleeps with the same person like maybe three times. So he's kind of sworn himself, or he was also told by kind of one of his hookups that since like she got engaged and stuff, she's like, well, you're not really like the guy to deliver like happily ever afters. And he takes it really serious. And so he kind of puts himself on the bench. And he and Lucy get to talking after he, like, kind of pretends to be her date to, like, scare off the guy. And who's, like, harassing Lucy because he's like, I think you should be, you know, if you just, like, amped up your proteins and add veggies and stuff. He's like, you know, your face is an eight, but your body's five. She's like, fuck you, man. Anyways, so they get to talking, and she's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to my, I think it's like 15 year high school, excuse me, high school reunion. And he's like, oh man, you should. Like, I love my, you know, all my, like, high school reunions and stuff like that. And she's like, yeah, I'm sure you did. Like, look at you. And blah. So he, like, convinces Lucy to take him as, like, her fake date because everything is, like, a couple thing for the reunion. And it's, like, a week long. It's in Missouri. It's, like, 8 hour car trip. And I love this book so much because one, okay, so we have the fake date, obviously fake date turn like real dating relationship, feelings I should say, and then we have the road trip, which is just always fun, and then we get a one room, one really small bed, and I'm just like, oh my God, Avery Flynn, oh my God, Avery Flynn. Thank you for adding all this in there. I love it so much. Oh, we get skinny dipping. We also, in this book, you get high school bully redemption story, which is also really cool. So, yeah, this book is super hot. It also makes me feel really good because like Lucy and I are kind of like the same size. So it's also really nice to kind of read about a bigger curvy girl who just kind of like owns her sexuality, like know what she likes in the bedroom, isn't afraid to like talk about like masturbating and her vibrator. And like kind of tells like Frankie like you should get a vibrator. Also, side note, her dad's a sex therapist, so she's very open about stuff like that anyways, which is just really cool. And then yeah. Then the problem for this one, of course, for any like relationship, I guess, whatever. Is you get that feeling of doubt because once they get back to Waterbury, that Frankie and Lucy kind of never really leave Lucy's apartment. Like they're always just kind of like doing dinner or breakfast or whatever, just hanging out like at her place. And she's like, well, we don't ever like go out. And she, of course, you know, gets that like self-doubt, like, okay, maybe he's ashamed of me or ashamed of what I look like. And really, Frankie's just like, well, we always end up naked. So, there's that. And then some things get said, feelings get hurt. And then her girl Gain comes through with badass chick movies and ice cream and vodka. Anyway, so then, let's see. And then we go to Tomboy. And Tomboy starts out with Fallon knowing that Frankie and Lucy are on their way back to Missouri so Frankie can propose to Lucy. So that's what happens to them. Frankie does propose to Lucy, but just not in Muffin Top. Tomboy is a very interesting book because, yes, it's part of the Hardigan series, but it is also kind of the first introduction to the Ice Knights. The Ice Knights are of course, like, introduced, like I said, in The Charmer, and then mentioned in Butterface and Muffin Top, but our first real look is in Tomboy. I can find it. So Fallon, this is Fallon's story. She is kid number 6 for the Hardigan clan. Like I said, she's an ER nurse, but she also pretty much volunteers pretty much full time at like a low income, no income health clinic that a lot of people depend on. Fallon has this huge heart and I love it. She's a like take no shit kind of person, which I'm like, yes. But she also has this really, really, really big heart and just cares for people and, like, generally cares for people. So, I should mention, Lucy is a PR manager and she deals with, like, crisis management. So, she gets people, like, people who have fucked up out of the press or try to get them to like not look have their image look so bad. One of her big clients is Zach Blackburn, who is a defenseman for the Ice Knights hockey team, and he is just one of these like most hated it's like the most hated man in Harbor City. Like, literally, that's his title. So, we get a nice introduction to the Ice Knights. Fallon does Lucy a solid, and Zach goes over to Zach's house, because Zach is, like, really sick. And she's like, can you, like, make sure that he's not dying and stuff? And it's, like, her one weekend off. So, yeah, he lives in a pretty big house, things like that. And he has, like, no furniture. He has, like, literally, like, a card table. And just, there's nothing there. So, she's like, okay, whatever, that's weird. Turns out that I don't want to call her a puck bunny, but so the Ice Knights' biggest, like, rivalry fan is called the Cajun Ragin', and, she's kind of a puck bunny, I guess, but she, like, give Zach, like, on purpose, tainted muffins to give him food poisoning. And that's like what Fallon is like, yeah, this is food poisoning. So, and then the chick has the audacity to like show back up, and of course, in like a ridiculous, you know, one of those ridiculous sexy nurse costumes. So, oh, it's interesting. But then Fallon, and she also brings the press there. So Fallon like marches out of the house and is just like giving this chick like the what the fuck are you like on? Like you could have like really killed him. And then the press guy takes this one photo of like Zach is just is like this picture perfect moment. Zach is like looking down at Fallon and she's looking back at him, and it kind of looks like this like perfect like sentimental touchy-feely, you know, intimate photo, and it gets spread everywhere, of course, and people are trying to figure out who she is. But then all of a sudden Zach's plane goes up and he actually like plays a decent game, which he hasn't really done since like he got traded to the Ice Knights. This story is so ridiculous, you guys. It is full of just so Zach's parents screwed him over for pretty much embezzlement, and he's millions of dollars in debt. And has pretty much lost the love, his love of like playing hockey, until he meets Fallon, and she just like doesn't take his bullshit, puts him in his place, and then he like pretty much she becomes his like lady luck. So it's a really, really interesting read and take on that way. We also get a more inside look at the Biscuit, which is a female-run hockey blog all about the Ice Knights. And she writes about who the Lady Luck is, and there's a lot of comments that are kind of put in the book about like, oh, she's a she man hating, you know, man hating she man or something, and you know, of course, like just dumping on Fallon and how she doesn't wear makeup, or you know, how she's just like, oh, heaven forbid, shows up in a hockey to a hockey game in jeans and like a t-shirt and like a sweatshirt. Oh, heaven forbid. It's not like it's a fucking ice rink. But when shit goes down towards the end and stuff like that, and Fallon like is at CVS or a pharmacy or something like that, and she's standing in line and she's reading these comments about herself, and she gets eyeliner and she tries to put it on and she's crying, and like her girls and like her mom come over and they're just like, are you wearing makeup? And she's like, I think so. I don't know if I put it on right. They're like, why do you have it on only on one eye? She goes, well, it itches. Like, it's just, it's so sweet because, like, no, she doesn't need to change herself, but like the fact that she's just like, well, like, maybe if I did try a little to like make myself be a little more feminine and stuff, and but she doesn't, don't worry. They like talk her down out of it. They're like, you're perfect the way you are. But yeah, it's really cool. It's like the first, I think of it as kind of like, it's a good introduction to the Ice Knight series, because if you really like that, then obviously you have to read the Ice Knight series. You just have to read all of them. So I'm gonna skip over Parental Guidance. It's the Ice Knight book one. And go into Awkweird, which is the Ice Knight's book two. But Awkweird is about the other girl and their girl gang, Tess, who at Lucy's wedding has sex with one of the Ice Knights, and the condoms that he has, he was given to by another, like a friend and another teammate. It was like a gag gift, kind of, but they were expired, and she gets pregnant. It's a really cute book, and I, again, like, Tess had, like, just the fucking shittiest childhood, but she's so awkward and such an introvert. And but she owns a flower shop, and she's like, I've peopled too much. I'm like, girl, I get that. Like, I can look outside and be like, nope, too many people. But when she gets really nervous, she spouts out, they're called factoids, just random little facts about things, and it's really cute. But of course, it's like a defense mechanism. Like, I get that. But, like, I just. She's so awkward, but she's okay with her awkwardness. And that's why I'm kind of like talking about it too, because one, it's part of the girl gang. She's part of the girl gang, but it's also just about that whole accepting who you are, flaws and all. So. Parental Guidance, Ice Knights book one, and then Loudmouth, which is the Ice Knights book three. They also have those themes for the females. Zara for Parental Guidance is like 5'2", and she is a miniaturist artist. So, like, you know, you see like those mini food stuff. Like, she's the kind of person who would make stuff like that. So she's like this tiny little thing. Shelby in Loudmouth, who is the creator, author, owner, whatever you want to call it, for The Biscuit. Is a recovering alcoholic. She's been sober for 6 years, which I was like, it's really refreshing to see a female in that place and not just a man. So, yeah. And it's not like, I mean, for Loudmouth, it just came out, so I don't want to give, I want you guys to go read it forever. But it's also, it's just refreshing that, like, she accepts her cyber, her sobriety, and her fuck ups. So it's just really all these females, there's always that theme of body positive, confidence in yourself, not changing who you are. Like I said, these are not fucking makeover stories, and I'm so happy for it. So, I mean, technically, Butterface could be a makeover because she's renovating her Victorian house. But it's a house makeover, not a person makeover. Fallon tries to give herself a makeover, and basically her girls and her mom are like, no. Like, shut it down. So, I guess that's the only little part of like a makeover is Fallon tries so hard to get herself. Okay, she doesn't try so hard, but like the fact that she bought eyeliner because she felt like she needed to, it's I'm making it sound weird, but it makes a lot of sense. So, but then she's got her girls and her mom, and they're just like, you don't need to change yourself. Like, don't, they're like, if you want to wear eyeliner, like, wear it because you want to, not because you feel pressure from, like, fuckwads leaving comments that you need to. So, yeah, there are, it's all these books, there is sex in them, there is swearing in them, there is hot tension. The troops, the romance troops in these books are like just, oh, they're ridiculously awesome. Loudmouth doesn't even have like, it's shut in a cabin for like a few days and there's not even a bed, and ugh, I love it. It is all about empowering and lifting up your girl squad, and really, like, this is the squad goals, girl squad goals, like, everybody wants. Like, I'm jealous. I'm like, I want to be friends with these females. Like, I want friends like this. So yeah, I really suggest everybody reads these. For the Charmer, if you really aren't into like trying, I don't know. I just read the Charmer. So I read the Charmer before Butterface, but I suggested, cuz Avery Flynn, they're hilarious and they're funny. I mean, they're hot romantic comedies. So there's that. But I really, really, really suggest everybody read the Hardigan series. And of course, the Knight series. And everything that she's probably written. She has a new book coming out. I have the arc for it. I'm reading it this weekend. It's called The Wedding Disaster. I'm very excited about it. So yeah. That's what I got for you guys. That's what I got for you. I don't know what else to tell you. So there is that. Well, there's my Avery Flynn episode. I've gushed about her. I feel like, do I now have a new author crush? Yes. Yes, I do. I sure do. I am adding Avery Flynn up there with my Nicole Snow auto buy. Yeah. So, am I ashamed of it? No. No, I am not. Let's see what else we have here. I don't know. What else do you guys want to know? Next week, I am taking on the Kiss Quotient by Helen Hahn. I am ridiculously excited about that. I don't know if I'm going to do the Bride Test. That is the second book in the Kiss Quotient series. I don't know yet. We will see how the notes go. But I really wanted, the main focus will be on the Kiss Quotient. I just finished an audiobook from NetGalley. The book came out a while ago, but I really want to tell you guys. It's called Blood and Ash by Deborah Wild. It's called, it's the Jezebel Files, which there's like 4 books. Okay. Anyways, the audiobook was pretty good. The book came out January 14th. Holy fuck. Okay. So, if you're looking for kind of fantasy magic, I suggest these books. Oh, this one's not out yet. Okay. Just kidding. The fourth one isn't out yet. Yep. So, I ungot my Audible subscription because I don't use it. I just kept my Escape. But with my last credit, I'm very excited. I got the Neil Gaiman Sandman new Audible book. I'm very excited about it. What else? What else? What else? And yeah, right now I have read 92 books out of 128. I haven't marked down I only marked down the Charmer to read that. I haven't put down the other 4 books I've reread. So, I only have 36 more books to go, you guys, to complete my reading challenge for the year. So, yeah. What else can I tell you? Oh, one more thing about Avery Flynn. She seriously has like a shit ton of books coming out this year, you guys. Oh my god. I didn't want that. I wanted this. Okay. Royal Bastard. Instantly Royal Book 1 also came out this year. Came out in June. I am just getting into royal books. Like royalty or whatever. But I did get an ARC of this. It's only 99 cents. I would suggest to go read it. It is about an American who is in line to become, is an heir to become an earl. And yeah, it's very good. It is only 270 pages, so highly, highly suggest you go read it, especially for 99 cents. Ugh, how can you pass that up? And then, like I said, Wedding Disaster is coming out in a few weeks. Let me see if I can find that. The title, or the cover is really cute. And she has other books too. There it is. So, The Wedding Disaster comes out August 25th. It is 330 pages long. So, I know that this one is, you can get it on print. You can get it pretty much anywhere I think books are going to be sold. So, that's exciting. All right. That's all I know. That's all I got for you. I don't know what else you got want, but sorry this day came out a few days late. My children are just children. But yeah. So happy Thursday. Happy reading, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Be safe out there. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. And what else? I do do have a Patreon if you guys feel like donating. I am kind of revamping stuff on there, but you know, if you guys have a few bucks, you guys get stuff. So Patreon is Paperback Romance Book Club. That just also helps keep websites alive, because right now, I mean, that costs money. I have everything ready to go. I'm just waiting for some pay stuff to go through to get everything on the go. But there's that. There's Ko-Fi. Yeah. You can listen. You can donate or on this app, Anchor app. So I just want to give a quick shout out to also you guys in Ireland, United Kingdom, Spain, what? And Canada. So, and everywhere else, you guys, this is kind of ridiculous that I have listeners kind of like everywhere, and I'm beyond thankful. So, I have not been to Ireland or the UK. I have been to Canada. I only live 45 minutes away from Canada, you guys. So, I've been there a few times. Spain, I've been to Spain. I went to Barcelona. I don't think I went to Madrid. Maybe I went to Madrid. No, I think just Barcelona. But I absolutely love Barcelona. I really, really, really want to go back. Maybe I did go to Madrid. Anyways, I went to Pablo Picasso Museum in Spain. Like, the Pablo Picasso Museum. He is one of my favorite artists ever. And, oh, it's beautiful. Of course, there's all the Gaudi. Yeah, so I was a art history major in college. So, but I went there in high school for an art history trip. And then I realized that, like, oh, I can go to school to learn more about this. Yes, please. So, I really, 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 I mean, of course I want to go to Ireland and UK, but I have to go by myself because my husband's like, my husband's one of those Americans that are like, oh, the British. I'm like, you watch British TV all the time with me. You can't go, oh, the British. So, but yeah, I just want to say thank you to all my international listeners. That is the craziest thing in the world. I never ever thought I would be saying that. Ever. So, thank you for listening. Of course, everybody here in the US. The shitstorm that it is. But, yeah. Okay. I don't have anything else. Follow Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Facebook is there because I have people who don't know how to figure out Instagram. Everything I post on Instagram goes to Facebook. So if you follow me on Instagram, you're not missing anything on Facebook. Twitter, I just retweet. I don't get Twitter, but I'm on there. Anyways, if you guys have book recommendations, author recommendations, please email me. If you guys want me to read your reviews on books that I read or haven't read or whatever, I would love to do that. So send me your Goodreads link or just copy and paste your review, whatever, in an email. That is paperbackromancebookclub@gmail.com. I would love to do that. So, do that. I want those. Please. And thank yous. I know manners. Also, don't forget to rate and review. So, yeah. Okay. Well, that's all I can think about for right now. So, Sorry this episode's a little long, but it's okay. All right. Goodbye. Happy listening, and or thank you for listening, and happy reading. Bye.